hearing from Ruth and Kathy, although I have a little bit of inside scoop on what they do, and others will know here too. We're blessed by the work they do because it opens up doors sometimes for us when we meet people. I know Kathy and I will be out, and someone will say, "Are you Kathy? Do you work at the hospital? You were with my mother." And Kathy will say, "That was 15 years ago." And we'll have a conversation, and it's at those times of need and important milestones in people's lives that the Lord gives us those divine appointments. And sometimes Kathy will say to me, when I go into work tomorrow, will you bring the guitar? There's someone I think would appreciate some music, and we'll sing. And so it's just a wonderful blessing to be able to share in that way. Father, you've searched me, you know me so well. You know where I go, and my thoughts you can tell. Before I can say them, you know all my words. Father, you know me so well. Where can you are not there? From the depths of the sea to the clouds in the air, if darkness surrounds me, it's not dark to thee. Father, you are light to me.
Savior and my friend who's always there. as your Spirit leads me. No matter where I go, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And though I may walk through the valley shadow, I will not be afraid. You lead me through. I know that your word is true, and I put my trust in you. You call me by name, and at the sound my soul rejoices. Heaven descends and your glory fills the air. Every prayer, every heart's desire has found its answer. With your arms around me there, you tell me again you care. You're my Father and my friend who's always there. You're always there. I see the Lord in the eyes of my friends. I see Him in the love that they show. And I hear His voice when He's speaking to me, in His word and the songs that I know. But you may not hear Him, yet He's calling to you. Come, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you heart and a spirit within, joy and a life without end. But you say it all sounds so simple, my friend. You say that there must be some cost, but the price was so high it could only be paid by the death of God's Son on the cross. And I can't explain. There's no word can tell the things my heart knows are true. What He's done in my life, what He'll do in yours, are the things only Jesus can do. If you see the Lord in the eyes of some, if you hear Him calling your name, when He knocks at your door, open your heart, meet Jesus, and be born again. And I can't explain it, there's no word can tell the things my heart knows are true. What He's done in my life, what He'll do in yours, are the things only Jesus can do. And I can't explain it, there's no word can tell the things my heart knows are true. What He's done in my life, what He'll do in yours, are the things only Jesus can do.
It is so good to be at Bethel Bible Chapel today. It seems like it's been on the calendar or radar for some time. And Bill called last week or week before, and he said, just wanted to make sure it was coming. And, yes, we had it. We had it on our calendar for some time. And I'd like to invite you, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn, if you have a Bible, or maybe you have it on your phone or an app, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians, the epistle of 2 Corinthians. At Thessalon Bible Chapel, we recently finished a series through this letter, and we went chapter by chapter over several months, and a couple of times, more than twice, three or four times through, I remember thinking to myself, I wish we didn't have a deadline. We were trying to get done by a certain date to start a another series in the summer, but we were held to this deadline, and we kept going to it. But a few times I said, if we had more time, I would have liked to spend it right here in this verse or in that verse. And thanks to Bethel Bible Chapel, I get to do exactly that this morning. So we're going to look at the first part of 2 Corinthians. Let's begin by reading our text. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. We're going to read the chapter through, just a few moments of the context and look at it. And then we're going to narrow it down to just really three verses that would, I pray the Lord would encourage us this morning as we read them. Let's read the first five verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Father God, we read these words this morning and we realize that this is not a book of knowledge from a library that contains man's knowledge. These are words, Lord, that reach our deepest need. These are words from the God who created us. These are words that can give us life. And so this morning, despite the preacher and the mistakes he will make, despite our ears and the things we will hear, we pray, Lord, our hearts would hear from you, hear from your Spirit, and Lord, that we might draw closer to you, understand you more, and worship you in a way, Lord, that pleases and blesses you. Thank you for your word, and guide us, we pray, in Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of the words contained in Paul's introduction are familiar to you, and you might have heard them at funeral services. Certainly, I have heard these verses, a few of these verses, and there's no doubt the Word of God can bring comfort to our lives. There's no question, and Ruth and Kathy expressed that today as they visit the rooms and often leave a Bible or share some verses or a magazine that will talk about the comfort of God. But the Word of God is not just there to comfort us. It's also there to challenge us. Lord God doesn't always want to make us comfortable, right? Sometimes it's when we're uncomfortable from his word that we actually move. That moves us in our spirit. And so that's kind of where I'm thinking this morning we're going to consider as we take the comfort challenge. Is in here in these verses this morning. I want to look at it from a view that Ruth and Kathy also shared. Two of Paul's letters in the New Testament are written to the church in Corinth. The first letter is perhaps the most confrontational letter of all the epistles in the New Testament. And in that letter, Paul lovingly but straight out confronts the church in Corinth with the problems that he heard were going on there. He had a pretty good source, and he heard that there were things taking place like sexual immorality. There were divisions among the teachers and those listening to him. There were lawsuits taking place, brother, believer, suing believer. And there were confusion over spiritual gifts. And there really was a careless disrespect for the Lord's Supper. And there were other things going on, but Paul addresses these very, very straightforward. And praise the Lord for that letter. It's a tough letter if you were living in Corinth. It would be a very tough letter, but it's amazing to me how relevant those things are 2,000 years later. Isn't that something? It's humbling, actually, when we read about, because some of those same things are taking place in the church today. But yet, in the second letter, we see that Paul is encouraging the Corinthian believers. He's following up on those things from the first letter. He's speaking with the authority of an apostle, but this time we can sense the passion and the care of a pastor. We can hear in his words his ache for the people who have refused to repent and his desire for those people who are going in away from the Lord to draw back close to the Lord again. And so he begins his letter in Pauline style. It's familiar to us when he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. He could be writing some of his own opinions. He could be saying, you know, I think you really need to do this, or I think you need to do that, but he's not. He's writing as an apostle. He's writing as one sent by God and approved by God. And that makes a difference when these Corinthian believers are reading this letter, and it should make a difference to us today. These are God's words breathed into Paul, and we pray that they will also breathe into us that same spirit, that same moving of the spirit in our lives, as Paul writes. And he says also, and Timothy, our brother. It's a biblical principle, isn't it, that we don't go it alone. And Paul is a good example of that. You'll read Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus, Paul and Silvanus. All the time you see there's somebody with Paul or a group of others with Paul. And it works both ways. He maybe is training in some ways and discipling, but it also holds Paul accountable. Paul can't write to the church in Corinth and say this, this, this. If it isn't true, he's got Timothy right there saying amen to it. He's got a backup, a witness, and so he's very careful. And he talks about the grace and peace from God. And isn't that what we need more of? The grace that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus and the peace that comes from knowing him that we have with the Father in heaven. That's what we're looking at this morning, but you know, it's hard to get our mind around this letter. How does it apply to us today? I want us to think about it for a moment. Corinth to Bethel. This Bethel, not the Bethel in Palestine, this Bethel here. It's a long ways away. It's across the ocean. How do we do it? Is it relevant today? Well, I can tell you, and some of you would already know, where would you go with this? Absolutely relevant. All Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture is living and active. It wasn't just for a certain time. When God breathed into Paul these words, he knew that it was going to be read here today and you were going to be here. Isn't that something? Because God is all-knowing. And he knows that it applies to hearts here today and to maybe some specifically. Maybe some of the words, without me ever even knowing, the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart to engage with these words, to engage with the message found here in this letter. So from Corinth to Bethel, does it apply? Absolutely. Now, if we were to figure out in miles, 8,161 kilometers. That's just an oil change away. That's a rotation of the tires. That's nothing. You know how fast that comes, don't you? When you're I got to get the oil changed already. Well, some of you are vigilant and you go 3,000, 5,000. But 8,000 is not unreal today. It's just an oil change away. That doesn't make it seem so far away, does it? When we think about it, wow, that's not that far. And so, but what if we think about it in terms of years, 1,960 years, give or take a few? Now that is hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? Time is still, even though it's moving fast today, we say, man, time just seems to have sped up. It just seems everything's going faster. But really, it isn't, and 1,960 years still seems like a long time. So can these words that Paul writes to the church in Corinth, can they apply to us today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I want us to just consider for a few minutes as we look at some of these verses, especially 3 to 5. I want to look here first at how he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be. And that's what we've been doing. Praise to God and Father. We want to bless him. We want to praise him and thank him because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. We have so much to give thanks for. And so it's good to get together at the first day of the week. Kathy and I were just saying this. It's been a crazy week. And here it is, the first day of the week. What a great way to start the first day of the week. Just coming together and remembering the blessings of our Lord. The Father of mercies, or your translations might say, the Father of compassion. Mercies of compassion. And that's, someone explained to me once, kind of an illustration of compassion. It's your pain in my heart. That's compassion. That's mercy. And God took the pain that we going through and the pain, and he put it on his son. And God knows our pain because he came alongside. The mercies of God and all comfort. And that's what comfort means. Paraklesis, to come alongside, to comfort, come alongside. And that's what God did in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We could never say, God, you don't understand. We could never say that. Because Jesus came and walked among us and faced everything that we faced. And not only that, then took upon all the sin of the world upon himself so that we didn't have to pay the penalty. We didn't have to feel that crushing death blow forever for eternity. He took it upon himself. We can't say he didn't understand. He understands. He's the God of all comfort. He comes alongside. And then he goes on to say, who comforts us in all our affliction. I want to stop there before we hit the so that. The so that is kind of an important part for me this morning as I've been thinking and praying about how this might affect our lives and how it is relevant to our lives. Who comforts us in all our affliction. Notice it doesn't say he takes away all our affliction. It doesn't do that. Wouldn't we be leading people astray if we said, if you just come to Jesus, all your problems will be over? We wouldn't be correct in saying our greatest problem would be dealt with, our greatest problem, and one day all those problems will be over, but you will still owe the same amount of money tomorrow that you do today if you ask the Lord Jesus in your heart today. Your family might still be in the same stress as it is today and tomorrow. It won't all go away right away. We still have afflictions, and Jesus was quite up front with his disciples. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trials. But take courage. I have overcome the world. But in this world, we're still in this world. And so we want to make sure that we don't convey that all your troubles will be over. What does it say? It says, who comforts us in all our afflictions. He comes alongside and comforts us in them. Now, there's a reason for that. It says, so that. This is the purpose. This is even greater than a reason. There's a difference between reason and purpose. Purpose is greater. Purpose is the thing that we're really doing it for. And this is the purpose so that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's a reason that God allows us to go through afflictions, and he comes alongside us so that we will be able to comfort those with that comfort we received from God. It's very important. It's part of the Great Commission. It's a way, and that's pastoral care. Sometimes we get that mistaken, don't we? We think pastoral care needs to be done by a pastor or by someone trained in pastoral care. That word really has to do with shepherding, looking after the sheep, caring, and really that is on every believer's mandate, that we're to care for our neighbor. We're to care for our family and for our enemies as well as our friends. We're to care to the point that we want them to know Jesus. We want them to know what it is to have life and have it abundantly. And so he comes, and we in North America, I believe, and even in my own life, have come to look at comfort as the absence of affliction. I'll be comfortable, and even in our society, if you watch TV ads for very long, doesn't it say, if you take this pill, you'll have 8 hours of comfort. If you buy this car, you will feel more comfortable as you drive. If you invest in this, you'll be able to live comfortably for many years in retirement. The whole idea, mentality in our North American culture is to be comfortable. And so we try to avoid affliction. But what if God placed in your life an affliction so that he could come alongside, so that you would now be able to have compassion and understanding for the next person that you see? Do you know what it's like if you run into someone who's never had any affliction, any trouble, and you try to explain to them something that's going on in your life? I remember this one time. Our daughter was in university. She made some poor decisions. Spiritual decisions, moved away from the Lord, and some of those decisions broke our heart. We would say those were probably one of the downest, most discouraging years of our life. I can remember we were on our knees, and that's one thing comfort won't do. Comfort won't drive you to your knees. Satan doesn't need to make you miserable. He needs to make you comfortable. He loves to do that because that will keep you from ever going to your knees and drawing where you need to go to the Lord. And so we were struggling, but it brought us close to the Lord. But I remember going up to a dear brother. I love him, but he doesn't have a pastoral gift in his body, I don't think. Because I went up and I said, I won't mention, I said, he said, how's it going? And I said, it's like you said, if you pause, you know there's something going on. I said, it's not going well. Our daughter, it's just breaking our hearts. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. And I said, I can't tell you how much we're losing sleep and we're just waiting, no phone calls. We haven't heard from her or anything like that. And this is before I could get any more out. He said, well, that's one thing about our family. Our daughter married a pastor. The other one is going to the mission field. And, you know, if they just follow the Lord and they just raise in a Christian family, raise them up in the way the Bible says, you won't have those troubles. I left just feeling so discouraged. And that's not what these scriptures tell us. We're told that God has placed things in our lives that he can use for good. And some of those things are the afflictions that he has laid upon our lives. And so the reason that we might be going through something or have gone through something, he may have just have a divine appointment for you where you can comfort someone and tell them how you made it through. And I want to encourage you to use the name of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it may look like you attended a good meeting or you went somewhere where other people were going through the same. Not that that isn't good. Sometimes if a person is struggling with a specific addiction, say drugs or alcohol or pornography, you run across someone who has had victory in that or is working through it too, there is a real bonding there and you're able to help each other. But you don't have to go through the exact same thing as another person to offer comfort, the comfort that comes from Christ. The comfort that knowing that your greatest need has been met. That no matter what takes place, God has got you in his hand. And there's nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. And you are going to be victorious, even if it looks beyond anything you can imagine today. When you have that kind of hope, you can share that with someone else. And it can be awkward at times. I can remember Kathy, one of the first times, went into a hospital room to play music. Now, I got in the old hospital, the rooms were kind of small. This was a two-bed unit, and I had to put the guitar on outside the room because there was no room to put it on in there. I thought I was going to have to go outside to change chords. That's how small the room was. And we got in there, and I'm a little nervous. See, it does, in hospital visiting, there's an advantage to being small and quiet and calm. Please, don't bust into the room. How's it going today? You know, like, the hospital rooms are meant to really bring a calming effect. Kathy is good at that. I watched. I learned from her. And so we went in, and I was a little nervous. I didn't know how it would go, and there was a curtain, and I knew there was a woman behind the other, in the other bed. And Kathy said, I'm just going to check. Just wait. I'm going to check and make sure it's okay. See what we learned from people who do it. I'm just going to make sure it won't disturb her. So Kathy went behind the curtain. I saw her legs there, and I saw the woman was standing. And then I heard, oh, no, and then I heard a crash and a bang. And what is it? Why do they have metal bowls and stuff like that? They're the noisiest thing on terrazzo floor. But crash, bang, IV pole, and then Kathy and the patient down onto the floor. They're both down on the floor. And I'm looking at the person we came to sing to. We're not bringing a calming effect here. And Kathy said, Charlie, I said, I know, get the nurse. I'm out of there. I'm thinking, we're done. We're not sticking around for this. So Kathy, we kind of packed things up, and they said, we still want you to sing. Both ladies still wanted us to go in and minister to them in music. And so we did for some of the very songs we sung here this morning. Do you know it was not long after that we officiated at the funeral of the woman who crashed to the floor with Kathy. Never met her before then. Divine appointments. God has placed you in places, and you never know. And you don't have to be an extrovert or trained. You don't have to say, you know, wait, I'll call the pastor, or I'll call one of the elders, and they'll come. You could do that, but if God has put you there, he's put you there for a purpose. Listen well. Slow to speak. Two ears, one tongue, twice as much listening as speaking. And remember that God gave you the comfort that is in Christ to share with them. I remember we stumble through these things. I was at Sioux College, and a fellow came in. I was teaching a course, and he came in. He said, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to finish the course. I said, it's only the second week. How do you know that? It's a long course. And he said, I got to have to go to court this week, and there's a good chance I'll be going away. Really, I'll be going away. And I said, I understand. I said, oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry, you know, and I was going to leave it at that, but I could tell there was something more. He was embarrassed about it. I didn't want to pry, ask him, what did you do? Or, you know, I didn't want to say the thing, oh, well, we all make mistakes. I wanted to let him feel that for a minute. And he said, the hard part is my wife doesn't know. I just got married. And I neglected to tell her while we were dating that I had this charge, and I was hoping it would go away, but it looks like now I'm going away. So he said, I don't know. And I said, well,
I said, why don't you leave right now? The best thing to do is to bring things to the light. I have learned that it's no good to hide things. Things hidden is where Satan does his best work. You need to bring it to the light. You need to go home and lovingly, as best you can, lay it out before your wife. Tell her what's happened, that you're going to court and that you might have to go to jail. But, oh, I'll be wondering how it's going. And he left. And so the next day he wasn't in class, and I figured it either didn't go well with his wife or he is in jail. And I did find out he did get sentenced, and he went right to jail. And so I went to visit him that day, right after, as soon as it was done classes, I went over, and it's jail is like you think. It's locks and clicks. This is the old jail on Bruce Street, and windows and speak through a glass. And he came, and he's sheepish, and I was very nervous. I just didn't know what to say. I said, I'm so sorry that it worked out this way, but I said, I really want to know, how did it go with your wife? And he said, well, I don't know. I'm only allowed one visitor a day, and you came in, so she was going to come in, and now she can't. He actually looked relieved to me. My point is this. You're not going to do it right. You're going to make mistakes. You don't always know what to say, and timing is important. Watch your timing. But God has given each one of us experience in life. You have a testimony. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. And that testimony is not just repeating verses or even the time that you got saved and what meaning. Those are good things, but it might be more some of the afflictions that God has placed in your life. And to share with them, my life hasn't been perfect, but I know one who is. And I know one who knows everything about you, even though I don't, and knows your greatest needs. Paul finishes, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. That we can share Christ. Yes, we have suffering. Sometimes, even because we're Christian, we suffer for that. But look what he did for us. Look what he did for us. I remember years ago, there was a thing in place in the Sioux, telecare. Many of you might remember, there were in cities all over the country, and it was a phone-in place where you could phone in, and you could talk to somebody if you were going through a hard time or things like that. And I learned, again, from Kathy, we learned from our wise men, that some of the people who manned the phones and some of the people who work on those phones do so because they came through a hard part of their life, and they're the most compassionate. They understand the best way to listen. They don't want any recognition. They don't want the other person doesn't even know their names. They just listen and share with them some of the things that those people are going through. They just listen and comfort the best way that they can.
I just want to let you know that our son-in-law was transferred to Texas. And people in Thessalon were mortified because their family lives next door. And so how can you stand it if they're going to live so far away? This is the daughter from university and so on. And we prayed that if the Lord's going to get a hold of her, we're better than the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. And if it meant she had to go so far away to come close to him, and that's exactly what happened. And our daughter came back to the Lord. Our son-in-law got saved. And our four grandchildren know the Lord. And we are very grateful. It's far, but we're going to spend eternity together. So.
Little girl sits by a silent phone. She's far too young to be alone. Waits for her mother's call, late again or not at all. The TV fills the room with sound, but her emptiness is far too loud. Another night in her five short years of Cheerios and milk and tears by the telephone.
Telephone.
another phone in another place.
Wrinkled hands and a kind, soft face.
She wouldn't mind if it would rain. Until then, she knits and sings. Since her kids have grown and gone, she sometimes finds the nights are long. So once a month, she spends her time to share his love through the lines of the telephone. Someday, though I may never see, someone might meet the Jesus in me. A young man walks the streets at night. It's been like this for half his life. The things he hears inside his head, voices keep him from his bed. His shoes are worn and his coat's too small, but no one pays him mind at all. He tries to hide from the wind and rain. Inside a booth he checks for change in the telephone. Another phone on another wall, another man who lost it all years before when he almost died from all the things that he had tried. And then he met a man who knew everything that he'd been through. He says that's why he's here today, to help someone along their way.
Jesus in me.
And we can share the love through the Father we've been shown, and comfort those with the comfort we have known. And maybe someday, though I may never see, someone might meet the Jesus in me.
Father God, we thank you for your grace. As Paul opened the letter, the grace and peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we live in a world, we live in a town, we live even in our own homes and in our schools and jobs where there are so many who have never experienced that grace and peace and will never experience until that moment that they hear the news that you sent your son to come alongside, to comfort, to come to earth, and to take on the pain and the suffering that is caused by sin, to take the penalty of sin and hang on the cross for us, to take the beating and the punishment that was really ours so that we might be able to comfort those with the good news that we have a Savior. We have one who has met our greatest need, one who wants to come into our lives, come alongside, and to be with us forever. And Father, we pray that each one here might have sensed that call into their lives, and there may be some this morning who have never And even in hearing it, Lord, their hearts pound and pump. And they feel something lacking. And we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would just call them to yourself, that they would reach out and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my life. Give me that grace and peace that I have never known. Father God, we pray that we're the kind of people that breathe grace, that come with comfort to the hurting world. And we thank you for your word that equips us, your Holy Spirit that leads us and gives us divine appointments through the week. And we pray as we leave here today that that would be the very case. We would see that you have placed us in a place to share the Lord Jesus with the world, that we would take the word of God into the world, and we let our light shine in a way that it reflects your glory. And people see Jesus. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.